Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Good afternoon to another exciting episode. Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie, along with the most debonair and suave, coolest host ever, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mikey.
Good afternoon, Annie. Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to this beautiful edition of Southern Sense for Tuesday. It's the 13th of November, 2012, 1 week after Black Tuesday, literally. Glad that I can be here. Well, and just a quick reminder of all of our electronic and networking ways to get a hold of us, whether it's our website, Facebook, or Twitter. We're going to post those links throughout the show. Glad to have everyone with us, especially Doc Jones, I see in the chat room. Always a pleasure to have a Marine, and a belated happy Veterans Day to our 30-year Marine, actually our favorite Marine on BTR.
Well, actually, you should be also saying happy birthday to him, because Saturday was the 237th birthday of the Marine Corps. Semper Fi, Marines, and God bless you all.
Yeah.
It was a busy weekend. You had the Marine Corps birthday on the 10th, and then Veterans Day actually was on Sunday, even though we celebrated on Monday. So it's been a jam-packed weekend for a lot of our friends out there.
Yeah, I was busy as you know, but I don't know anyone else is aware. I went to on Saturday. I went way to as far north as you possibly can in the state of Michigan. It was the anniversary memorial for the Edmund Fitzgerald, the ship that went down in Lake Superior a long, long time ago. But that was really neat to go to. And also, Jermaine and I did do a show Monday. We did a show for an hour, a tribute to the veterans, and all we did was have veterans call in the show. It was good. Bob USMC was there and several others. But anyway, here we are ready to rock and roll our show out. And for those who don't know, we're going to, in a little while, Dale Peterson's going to call in. We're going to get Dale's perspective on the election, although I think we got a good idea what his perspective is.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, here in Beaufort, South Carolina, we had the U.S. Naval Academy Men's Glee Club on Sunday. It was at our church, the Parish of St. Helen Episcopal Church, and it was our 300th anniversary, and they performed. And if anyone has ever seen them, they'll know what I'm saying. They are freaking awesome. Absolutely fantastic group of young men and so talented. You know, you expect a glee club, you know, choir to be all formal and you're going to do just the standard ballads and songs and so forth. But they came up with some imaginative stuff, and they actually, in honor of the election, came up with a whole mess of old political songs, you know, that everything from George Washington all the way up through I Like Ike. And they were doing a parody with it all, and it was just fantastic stuff, a lot of fun. And their a cappella group was absolutely superb, and they also had a barbershop quartet. So, you know, it's great to see these guys out there and having fun doing something they enjoy, which is making music and singing. Oh, man, if anyone has ever had a chance to go see them, get yourself some tickets and see the U.S. Naval Academy Men's Glee Club. It is something you will definitely remember and enjoy. God bless you.
That had to be cool. That had to be really, really cool. I know that you had texted me that you were headed there. I was thinking, like, wow, anything to do with the, I mean, our military, they do everything so well. I mean, they're just a great group of people, whether it's their defending our borders, whether it's just everything they do well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They did everything from singing Ave Maria to that song, the Kumbaya song, you know, a Wimboe, a Wimboe.
They sing Ave Maria?
Yeah. And what they did was they split the choir. There's like about 50 guys, and they split it, and they had the new cadets on the stage. And then the ones that are going to be graduating in just a couple of weeks, they put up in the choir in the balcony. And you got the scene, and, you know, you're at the middle, and you have these two groups going, and it is wonderful, wonderful. They had a cappella group they called the Shivs. They were supposed to be like the juvenile delinquents of the choir, and they came out with leather jackets and chains and, you know, duh, yo, you've been talking this way, you know. And it was just funny, funny, some of the stuff they did. Oh, man. Oh, man. It was great. It was great. And the best part is that members of the church put all these men's, all these young men, they put them up in their homes so they didn't have to pay a hotel or anything. So different families had hosted a group of these guys and just, you know, took them in and fed them and let them spend the night and whatever. And that's great. I mean, when you have a community that interacts so well like that, God bless them.
It's really nice of them to do that, too. I mean, it's fun for both. If you get the right family, it's probably fun for everybody. Do we want to do our show dedication, or we want to bring Dale on and then do our dedication?
Let's do our show dedication, and if you can pull up the Marine Corps hymn there, we'll do this dedication, and it is going out to Sergeant Camila Marchette Steadley, 31 of San Diego. And anyone that listens to us knows that every show is dedicated to a fallen hero, whether they're a military, if they're a law enforcement, if they have died serving their country and our citizenship, we honor them.
You didn't delete it, did you?
Nope. I got it.
Okay.
The Pentagon released the name Thursday of a 31 Camp Pendleton-based Marine killed in combat in Afghanistan. Sergeant Camila M. Steadley of San Diego died October 3, 2012, supporting combat operations in Helmand Province, according to the Department of Defense. Her cause of death is under investigation, military officials have said. Steadley was assigned to Combat Logistic Regiment 17, a logistic battalion of the U.S. Marines based out of Camp Pendleton. She enlisted in December 2011. She was an air support operations clerk for CLR 17. It's not clear how Sergeant Steadley died and what led to military investigations. The Fox News contacted the 1st Marine Logistics group and was told she died while supporting combat operations. No further information was provided. The unit released the following statement. The United States Marine Corps mourns the loss of one of its own. The Marines and Sailors of 1st Marine Logistics Group mourn the loss of Sergeant Camilla M. Steadley. Our heartfelt condolences go out to her family. Signed, USMC. Steadley is a decorated Marine who won many awards and recognitions. She has 11 awards, including the Marine Corps Good Conduct Medal, Second Award, an Afghan Campaign Medal, and National Defense Medal. Governor Jerry Brown, on Friday, ordered flags at the state capitol to be flown at half-staff in honor of Logistics Marine Sergeant Camilla M. Steadley. Steadley, originally from San Diego, died while supporting combat operations in San Diego. Steadley lived in San Clemente with her husband of 8 years and fellow Marine James Steadley and their 4 children, according to their Facebook pages. She is also survived by her mother, Adrian Alsbrook of San Diego, and father Marcus Alsbrook. James Steadley could not be reached for comment. Marcus Alsbrook said Thursday evening that the family is gathering and had not decided what information to release to the public. On Friday, a woman who answered Marcus Alsbrook's phone said the family will have no further comment at this time. Her awards include the Marine Corps Conduct Good Conduct Medal, Letter of Appreciation, NATO Medal ISAF, Afghanistan, Sea Service Deployment Ribbon, Afghanistan Campaign Medal, Certificate of Commendation, Meritorious Mast, Certificate of Appreciation, Naval Unit Commendation, Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, and National Defense Service Medal. And in honor of Marine Sergeant Steadley, we now then dedicate this song to her and to all of our heroes. It's called My Name is America by Todd Allen Herndon, and you can find it on YouTube.
Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America. Don't tread on me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger and I'll rise up. Others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name, I'll be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get
Man, I love that song. And, you know, I sent Todd a message letting him know that we do play it every single show. And he did try to get into one of the shows to call in, but for some reason, Blog Talk was having problems with their line. So he would have joined us, but hopefully he'll join us in a future show. It's an excellent song.
Ah, too bad. Well, speaking of join us, hang on a second before we actually ask Dale a question. Let's play a clip.
I'm Dale Peterson. I've been a farmer, a businessman, a cop, a Marine. So listen up. It's time to throw out the thugs and criminals who've been stomping all over our Constitution and destroying our economy. It's time to get everyone to the polls and start winning elections. Taking back the House and the Senate and elect conservative governors. And it's time to hit the left with a strong right. Our country's broke, living on borrowed time and borrowed money. Democrats have got the economy in a tailspin because they don't give a rip about America. You know, what comes after a trillion anyway? We need something that we can do that's affordable, powerful, something that everyone can do. In this business, it's really not money that counts. It's votes. Lots of votes. And that's our currency. It's time to back our trucks up to the voting booths and shift into offense formation. Here's the game plan. We have to move on three fronts. Air, land, sea. Pick up the phone and call registered Republicans, independents, and conservatives and tell them to vote November the 2nd. And tell them to call people. Let's register conservative voters by going door to door. To youth events, let's get the young people involved. Go fishing in conservative waters, like senior centers, fairs, churches, gun stores and shows, and the military. Email registration forms to like-minded folks in your circle. Get them to do the same. If we all do a little, it'll add up, and it'll spread like wildfire. Air, land, and sea. Get your hat. It's time to roll.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dale Peterson. Dale, welcome back.
My, I'd almost forgotten about that one there. And when I heard the part, it said we need to back our trucks up to the polling places. Maybe we do. And maybe we open the door and all those voters will come out like they did up in Pennsylvania, where you have 59 precincts and or 49, 59, and not a one voted Republican. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Something's wrong
that
there.
Happened, well, that happened down in day two. Where 10,000 people, right around 10,000 people in the county voted, but yet like 28,000 votes were counted. You know, I think before Daley passed on, he might have lost his memoirs, and Obama found it as a kid walking in the streets of Chicago. But either way, first question, Dale. I know that your queen ran for. Public Service Commission, did that Kavanaugh win or did the Kavanaugh lose to the Democrat?
She won. She won by 55% of the vote. And now in Alabama, we have no Democrats serving in statewide office at all.
Cool.
Or federal. But there's Democrats, I don't know where they went. Wherever they went, they might have taken the illegals with them. So, you know. but anyway, there Lucy was the last, Lucy Baxley at the PSC, was the last Democrat standing in statewide office, and she's gone now.
Oh, good Lord. I love that. For those that are listening in, you were expecting Stacey Swimp, but unfortunately, Stacey called me about 11:30 this morning, my time, Eastern time, and he had just had his flights rerouted, and he was heading to the plane to board. So right now, he's up in the air, and he will be coming on the 23rd. That's not this Friday, but the next Friday, Stacey will join us. So if you're expecting to hear from Stacey, he's up in the wild blue yonder, heading up to Michigan to go to some sort of a rally or event. So sorry about that, folks.
So, Dale, what was your overall take on election night? Obviously, disappointment, but kind of when we left off, there was, you know, the countdown to 3 or 4 days before the election. And just what is your overall perspective?
I guess the overall perspective is I'm kind of scratching my head wondering if now Republicans will ever have a chance to win another presidential race. I saw Bobby Jindal was talking to Politico, and he had some harsh words to say about our stupid party, as he puts it, that we're not opening up enough, and with all the ones, the single women, the young folks under 30, the Hispanics, the black vote, and everything that goes along with it. If the Republicans won everything else, and they would have to, they might stand a chance of winning, but the numbers don't add up. So overall, what I believe happened, and although I voted for Romney, no two ways about it, Alabama went for Romney by 80%. So down here, it's fine. But we had Romney crammed down our throats. We had the establishment of the GOP pushing Romney. We had the Karl Rove's of the nation pushing Romney. We had the super PACs pushing Romney. And as Ann Romney said last year, sometime I heard her say, well, it's Mitt's time. What? It's Mitt's time? No, that's not the way it works in America. And what happened was Americans proved that it wasn't Mitt's time. So everyone knows that I backed Herman Cain. And then when he didn't win, I went with my party. I've always voted Republican. I've always been a conservative. I've had nowhere else to go that my vote would count. I see it's a tough one right now. We have our county executive meeting tonight electing officers. And in this state, you have to be part of the machine or you're not part of the machine. And I'm not part of the machine. And I'm going to run for chairman of the party of this county. I'm not holding out a lot of hope there because I'm going to be plain spoken the way that I normally am. And most people can't take that. You know, don't tell me the truth. I can't take it. It's kind of like a few good men, if you know what I mean. So
something you said, Dale, that's making so much sense. You threw some names. If you go back to the 2000 election, mm-hmm. and you see who douchebag Sean Hannity had on his show, he's got the same group of country club people that you just referred to. And it's
over and over again.
Yes, it's almost, in many ways, as a Republican, I almost feel like my candidate, who got annihilated, but we lost the seat to a Democrat because the Republicans fixed the election and lost, and they refused to back the other Republican. But it's almost like we get the door slammed in our face.
Well, and we should have the door slammed in our face. Not us. I mean, I'm talking about the Republican Party. But I heard Herman the other day. He said he never thought he'd say this, and I talked to him the very next day, called him, and he said, you know, I never thought I'd say that. We might need a third party. Well, he's been just bombarded by people all over the United States saying, okay, come lead us. This country's looking for a leader. It's looking for someone who will stand up for them and give them hope, not just hope that is, I hope I get a check this week from the government, but it's hope that this country will survive. And on my Facebook, I wrote something the next day about having a lump in my throat. My gut was tied in knots. From what I wasn't ticked off so much about Mitt Romney losing as I was ticked off about the possibility of losing our country. And what we have to do is a lot of people say, well, I'm leaving. Well, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go that is better than America, even when America is at its worst? There is nowhere to go. And, well, I'm going to leave this party. Well, what party are you going to go to? Well, the Libertarian Party, the Conservative Party, the Constitution Party, all the parties together that I just mentioned didn't bring up 1% or 2% of the overall voting that happens because people don't want to waste their vote. Although this time around, a lot of them wasted it. But you have to look on the flip side of that, too. The other party, other than Republicans, that our president is in, in my opinion, and it's only my opinion, and from what you look at, you know, who's going to be the biggest cheaters? Are we going to keep turning our cheeks and not having a flip side to the ACLU and having somebody get out there and jump up and down on our behalf? Or are we just going to let the Sharptons and the Jacksons all over, you know, run all over the country and make us look like idiots? And we're doing a good job making ourselves look like idiots. So I suppose what we're going to have to do is change our train of thought. Now, you see Jindal and some of the other ones saying we've got to be more inclusive. Well, that will work in certain states around the country. But in Alabama, down here in hardcore Baptist Belt, over in Mississippi and that sort of thing, everyone wants to be even more conservative. So we have to understand that here we are being Republicans or whatever. We don't want anybody to take our gun rights away from them. We want our freedom of speech. We want everything like that. But yet we're going to tell somebody over there what they can do with their body and that sort of thing. I personally do not believe in abortion, but it's not my job to tell somebody what to do with their body. It's the big guys. Ultimate call on that. So we're going to have to look at different things like that, whether we like it or not. And we look at gay marriage. You know, a lot of people, I have some friends say, what do I care? Maybe when they get divorced, they can pay just like I do, you know? So, well, you got flip sides to look at. That's an abomination in the Bible, and the ultimate call will be after they turn to dust. It's not our call. So we may not like it, but we don't have to sit on it and pound it and drive it in the ground when we have a whole host of issues, mainly the economy to look at. So, and survival. If the country doesn't survive, all this other stuff doesn't matter, does it? So that's my rant for the day. What's your next question?
a lot of people don't know Dale. Tell for some people who are watching the network news, Proposal 10 or Amendment 10 in Alabama, the banking amendment was getting huge attention. What exactly was that? It almost sounded like at least the media portrayed it as a bunch of people with guns wanting to shoot bankers or something.
No, it was some language in the banking industry. You can't lend money down here with the language that's in it. And it was basically opening up channels of communication right there and relieving some regulations that you could get back into. See, banks have plenty of money now, but they won't lend it. And they don't know what's coming down the pipe from the feds. So what we're trying to do in Alabama is relieve a little of the regulations, just like when we voted down Obamacare here in Alabama, so we're not making our folks think that they have to have it. So that's basically what nowhere near blown out of proportion that it was nationwide.
Wow. So how about the school? Yeah. Oh, one more question, Annie, before I bounce to you. The school poll tax, what was that in Alabama?
Well, it's a tax. basically, what that tax is, when you go to the, it's kind of like a real estate tax that you pay, and as you how would you say that? You know what it is, but you know it's kind of like you know how to get somewhere, but you don't know how to tell someone to get there. So. It was just basically a tax similar to real estate tax that everybody pays, and it goes to the education here. My problem with education in Alabama is that we spend about 82% of our budget, only leaving 18% of our budget to run the state government with. We spend 82% of it on education, and we haven't gained anywhere up the steps in 20 years. So, you know, my deal is I had one of the governors last time said, Dale, what would you do? I said, I'd cut the state budget in half, the education budget in half. He said, well, how are we going to support the schools? I said, well, you know, we have a principal, we have an assistant principal, and then we have an assistant to the principal. We have all these layers at the top. You keep saying, let's go cut federal government or state government. Let's start with the school system. We didn't have that when I was going. We had a principal and a boys advisor. And when you were too big for the board's advisor to whip your ass, the principal did, okay? So basically what we have here is an overloaded, top-heavy education system. And we have two budgets in Alabama, one education budget and one state budget. And by mandate in the education budget, with a vote of the people, that we have to do two budgets on that, and it's earmarked. So we're one of three states in the nation that has two budgets for a state budget. It doesn't work well at all.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What did you just say? You have two budgets for the state budget?
Yeah, we got one education budget, and we have one state budget. And the money's coming in from different entities within the state, say a liquor tax or cigarette tax or some of the other taxes. Those are earmarked to go into the state budget, into the education budget. Then we have some other ones. All the ones that are not earmarked go into the general fund budget. So we have about, of the monies we collect, about 18% goes into the general fund budget to run the state, and 82% goes into the education budget to run education with. That is what happens when you have state education unions. So we're kind of handcuffed around here, and we have to balance the budget, by the way. It's a, our constitutional amendment, we have to balance it. So we can't touch the education budget, so everything has to come out of that little 18% that we do roads with, that we have insurance with, we have paying our employees with, everything else. And then employers in Alabama haven't had a raise since 07 and our cost of living. So you have employees that have been on the payroll for 15 years or so or longer that are making somewhere around $25,000, $30,000 a year. You know,
that's
poverty level. That's poverty level, you know?
Yeah.
So
we got
that's a sad thing. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. We got another caller in on the line. We got Dr. C. Robert Jones. He has his own BTR show called The Situation Report, and he's got a show coming up tonight on succession fever. Good afternoon, yeah. Dr. Jones. Dr.
Hey.
Jones?
Yeah, yeah, hey. You know what? I agree with Cool Mike and Annie. Good to talk to you guys again. Glad to be back on the show after, a very difficult, election loss. I was honestly depressed to the point where I didn't want to have anything to do with Blog Talk Radio. I still, or the news, I have not yet gone back to Fox News, which has been a staple of mine for the last 3-4 years. Every morning I would watch at 6 a.m. and watch until, the 9 o'clock hour. I haven't turned it back on since election night. I'm extremely depressed about this situation, and I concur with our caller, but with one variation. President Obama has done a terrible job all the way around. And he, through smoke and mirrors and his political machine, managed to get reelected. However, at this juncture, there'll be no excuses for him. He can't say that somebody else's fault, and that he needs more time and all of that. He's going to run this country into the ground, guaranteed, within the next 3 years, And it's going to be revealed that Democrat liberal policies do not work in terms of enriching this country for everyone and making it a much safer place to live. He's going to prove that, and I predict that in three years, that it won't matter who we put up for nomination for president. Cool Mike, Annie, you will be able to beat Barack Hussein Obama, in the upcoming presidential election for 2016. So, was it 2016? Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now he needs to get to run.
Yeah. I think that this is what we have here is an opportunity to show exactly what to witness what Barack Hussein Obama is really all about. There'll be no holds barred, and I predict that Americans will turn on this guy in a very short order, and I mean liberals as well. Because the common denominator, in my opinion, is money. It's money. It's things. It's our way of life. Everybody wants to live a certain lifestyle. We all want to have good things. We all want to live a nice, enriching life here in the United States. And what Barack Obama wants to do is level the playing field so that we're all mediocre, that we're all without. That we're all in at a certain level, which is contrary to what this country has been about for the last 200 plus years, and I think he's going to be rejected in very short order, and it's not going to take too much longer. As is indicated from my show coming up later on tonight, 21 states want to secede from the union as a result of this reelection. Truly, we talked over the course of this election about there being a divide in this country, about our country being divided. Now, we have absolute proof. Texas has already gotten the required number of signatures, and the White House is reviewing those. Of course, no doubt the administration will reject those calls for secession, but one wonders if there'll be some sort of other action taken.
It's true, because I've been seeing these secession petitions go around, and I had looked at this item like about 2 days ago, and you said 21, but I have 20 here: Alabama, Arkansas, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, New Jersey, and New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Oregon, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. And Rick Perry hasn't said anything about Texas yet. He's been kind of like a little mum. But there is this GOP official, what's this guy's name? He's a county judge, Tom Head. And he said, why should Vermont and Texas live underneath the same government? Basically, a lot of these more conservative states are saying, hey, this is not the way we expect the election to go. And obviously, something's wrong here, so we want to just rule, govern ourselves, and they're basing it upon the Declaration of Independence. When governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and institute a new government. So obviously they do not agree with Obamacare. I came up with this clip. I know you're upset with Fox News. This is from Fox Business. This guy's name was, let me see, I had written it down, Isaac Roy, I believe his name is, and he's with a financial institute. This is what he has to, oh, wait a minute, this clip didn't load. It says only 4 seconds. What he was saying is that what you could expect, on average, $35,000 to $4,000 in new taxes per person with Obamacare being instituted. And by 2014, an average household will see above $6,500 in new taxes for an average family of four. So I can't afford $4,000. And I mean, you put my husband and I together, $6,500 more dollars, and that means I'm on a pension. He's on Social Security. Where is this money going to come from that for in order for us to pay these taxes? A lot of people are not going to have it. The other thing with Obamacare, and a lot of places are doing this, is they're going to cut back on the hours of people work. They're going to take them off of full-time employment and have nothing but part-time employees. Or they'll start laying off so they keep below 50 people in each business. Already Papa John's, Applebee's, Olive Garden, Outback Steakhouse, a lot of these restaurants are going to cut every employee back to part-time status so they don't have to pay Obamacare. And what happens? Now they all fall into the state pools. And
Dale, I was going to ask, before you comment,
yeah.
Dale, quick question.
Yeah, sure.
Now, you guys voted on the health care, correct? Alabama voted.
Yeah.
Didn't they have yes or no for Obamacare?
Yes, and we voted down.
Okay. So, and also, basically, we don't have to do succession. We can basically just get the governors to tell Obama to kiss where the sun don't shine.
Well,
go ahead,
you, you know, we can, Mike, but here's the thing. I was listening to the doc there talk, and we were talking about secession and that. First of all, let's back up to the point where Obama, we're going to see his true colors and that sort of thing. Like it makes a difference to him one way or the other. We can't get him out unless we have, unless we do what they're doing over in Libya and that sort of thing. So he doesn't care. And first of all, you have to understand that he's not in charge. He may be president, but he's not in charge. He just does what his handlers tell him to do, and he reads off the teleprompters what they tell him to read. That's why he has no when he comes off the teleprompter, he screws up badly. So then you look at he wants to make everyone equal and that sort of thing. That's called socialism. The other thing is, here are these states going to succeed from the union. Well, wouldn't that just tickle Obama and his people, just tickle them to death if we succeeded? You know why? Because we have then just bursted, just busted, we say down here busted, just busted up the United States, just tore it all to pieces. So that would be nothing more. They'd be happy if that happened. Now we're fragmented, the United States, into a lot of little pieces that some can take care of themselves better than others can take care of themselves, but it's fragmented. It's not the United States, one big superpower. It's a fragment of a lot of chips with no power. So that would tickle those boys again. You have to understand what their goal is. Their goal is to destroy the United States. So, okay, let's pretend we don't want them to succeed. Then let's make them succeed. So there's where the rub comes in. You got to understand where they're coming from.
No. You know what? I respectfully disagree. I don't believe that Obama would want that at all, because a divided country, in terms of the states that are pushing secession, number one, it makes him look bad around the world. That his reelection has sparked a country to divide in this matter. Not even George Bush, not Ronald Reagan. When have we ever heard of this? I'm a historian, and I've never heard of this ever happening, except during the President Lincoln's time, and that was divided over, quite frankly, similar concerns. I suspect that what we're going to have here is not so much a separation as much as a revolution in this country, which won't be so much physical as it will be financial. This country is going to collapse under its own weight, and Barack Obama will be to blame for that. The Democrats will be to blame for that. Liberals will be to blame for that, and we'll see a new republicanism take hold. And we'll return to our founding principles as a result, almost as if President Obama's reelection will help us conservatives in a way, in that we will ultimately return to true conservative principles once Obama has mangled this country to the breaking point, which is what he's doing. He came into office, and it's all for him. It's all about talk about bringing the country together and inclusion. Not only has he overseen violence and of epic proportions, you know, around the globe, in the Middle East specifically, but now here in our own country, 20 states, according to Southern Sense, want to secede from the union as a result, a direct result of his reelection. I mean, it doesn't make him look good at all.
I'm not sure how good he looks. That's what you don't. I know he doesn't care. He doesn't look good around the country. He doesn't have to look good anywhere other than Muslim country. He looks good there because he has set a bomb off in the middle of the United States and blew it apart. Now, I hope with every thread in me that you are correct, we come back to our founding principles if we have enough people left to pick up the pieces of this thing. But I feel like he's right on track with what his handlers are trying to accomplish. So
where it becomes, sorry for interrupting, Dale, where it becomes really frustrating for me is this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want a lot of these asshole Republicans in charge. I'm sick of their bullshit, these George Bushes, these Karl Roves.
Me too.
They look at us as snobs. I mean, Doc, you are a 30-year veteran of the United States Marines injured in combat. And, I mean, they look – I mean, they just – these people are the most arrogant. They're more of a country club. And somehow it's almost like an honor to have – they don't get it. They're having – they had the Christmas dinner and nobody showed up, not even their own husband, their wives, and kids. And they're still wondering – well, they're still just drinking, smoking cigars, thinking they'll be rolling in any minute now. You know, unless we get the true conservatives that believe in balancing the budget, that believe the Rush Limbaugh types, unless we get the Rush types, it doesn't matter. It's more like an election of liberals.
Well,
anyway,
cool.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt everyone.
I think each one of you have a little part of the truth, but what you have to do is put what part of the truth together and come with the correct picture. We do have a revolution going on within the Republican Party. These establishment old world guys are finally getting the hint that we're not happy with them. Here in my state alone, South Carolina, you've got a lot of new people that were write-ins on the ballot and that got elected to places like the school board and the county council. And we have to start down here and bring these people, these true conservatives, up. And that's the problem. We're starting down at the grassroots. The Democrats already have a head start on us because they started this 12 years ago. We're just getting up to speed here. And we will see a turnaround in the Republican Party. We will see the general populace be completely upset and in disarray over Obama and his policies. And then you're going to see the rest of the populace join us and do what we already said has to be done. I don't think this country is going to fall apart by succession. I think it's going to fall apart economically. But once that happens, now we can turn around and say, listen, this is what we were telling you about. We were screaming this from the mountaintop. Now that you're listening to us, this is what we have to do to get our feet back on the ground and rebuild this nation.
Exactly.
Well, we're going
to
have to
I couldn't agree more.
I couldn't either, and we're going to have the leadership at the GOP to do that. So far, we've got just exactly the country club set up there, and all us foot soldiers are down here raising Cain. And when somebody like me says, you know, we don't like it this way. Here's what the people want. Here's what we need to do. Well, then I'm exiled because in Alabama, the Republican Party split into threes: the ins, the outs, and the wannabe ins. And all we do is argue, back and forth. And everyone is jealous. So we spend all our time fighting each other, and the Democrats are just kind of easing all by. They may be down and out in Alabama now, but we keep up our shenanigans, and they're going to be back in short order. So what we have to do is, like Bobby Jindal says, we're going to have to change the mindset. And it's like Anna said, we got to change the mindset. We got Obama for 4 more years unless we run him off on a rail somehow. I don't see that happening. So,
I don't think we're going to need to do that. I don't think that the Republican Party should change the message that we've been sending out.
The message is fine. The actions are terrible.
I agree with that. I think that what we've been preaching, what the Republican Party, the conservative movement has been preaching, is fiscal responsibility and freedom, and it's in my mind, it's just as simple as that. And we're talking about freedom for everybody. If the Republican Party is to change, what are we changing into? Saying that we want to give you something for nothing. just like the Democrats. In order to compete with the Democrats, we will promise you the moon, the stars, and the universe, and you don't have to pay for it. I mean, other than that, I mean, what else can we do?
Well,
what I suspect is going to happen is that Obama's going to run this country into the ground. He has done a pretty good job of it for
the last four years. Yeah.
Folks did not get the message, because he's been saying that all he needs is four more years and that, you know, they're making progress and people bought into it. But another 2 years from now, when the unemployment rate skyrockets because of his policies, and when we see people actually in bread lines and food lines, when we find ourselves in a dire situation, there'll be no excuses. There'll be none. And true conservative values and principles, people will look to that for their salvation. All we got to do is wait this guy out. He is not going to bring prosperity to this country. He's not going
to
do it.
He doesn't want to.
And you know what? And you know what? He doesn't want to, and that plays into our favor.
Absolutely. You're listening here to Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Annie, the Radio Chick. Our guest, Stacy Swimp, had to change his airplane plans last minute. So about 2 hours before the show started, he called me. I sat on the phone with him for about half an hour talking. And a lot of what we're talking about right now, Stacy and I spoke with. He will be back on the show on the 23rd. That's not this Friday, the following Friday. So if you're tuning in listening for Stacy, instead we have Dale Peterson and Dr. C. Robert Jones III. Can't forget
okay,
the third.
Okay, with that being said, okay, we have two guys on the air. Obviously, Dale has made a run for agriculture. What do you guys? We'll start with you, Dale. What are you running for? And then Doc, I'm not going to let you get away with not running for anything. You know, we're going to get you out of this depression. You know how to carry a gun. Dale carries a gun in his commercials.
Well, I don't really know yet. I'm going to do something. I like agriculture because I feel like if I can feed the warriors, then we can win. So somebody's going to have to feed the warriors, and we can do that that way. I would like to look more, and I think people around the country need to look more at the Secretary of State, because that job is very important. A good guy or a good gal with a armed real well can stand at the gates of the cemeteries and not let them vote at midnight. So what we can do is, from that standpoint, and I have heard that's the next battleground for the progressive. I don't know why it's called progressive. It should be called regressive. But anyway, or depressive. But from what I've heard lately is that's what they're eyeballing, is if they can control the elections even from the state side as well as trying to control them from the voting side, then they've got it all wrapped up regardless of what happens. So that's where I'm looking at it there. And Doc, I hope you're not looking at it like what just crossed my mind when you were talking about wait out Obama. Like we got another Rocky movie where he gets beat to a pulp, to where hopefully he can have enough wind and he wears the other guy down. And he comes out fighting and wins the game. So that's what that analysis that you came up with reminded me of. Rocky, can we hold on? Can we still see after our eyes are swollen up so bad that it's real pathetic? But anyway. That's what I was looking at. Your time. What you running for?
And wait a minute. And you're running tonight for county committee for Republican. What's the position you're running for tonight, Dale?
Chairman of the county party. This
okay.
is the county that I'm in. Is the largest Republican county in the state of Alabama. I'm not talking about land mass. I'm talking about people. We have not one Democrat in this county. I don't think we even allow them to live in this county. I'm not sure. I think that's on the real estate contract, Republican or Democrat.
keep your phone with you. I'm going to be texting you, finding those answers out. Doc Jones,
well,
how about you? You were considering running for Congress.
I think Doc Jones just stepped away. He should be back
anyway,
shortly.
One of the bottom lines is my problem. Just here in Michigan alone, the House Speaker rigs an election with my state rep. Okay, we lost the seat. But all weekend long, the governor was campaigning for this crook. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not voting for this guy. I don't care if he's a Republican. He's an asshole. And then everyone's like, oh, you can't. You know, we got this lieutenant governor. He's about 5'4". He's just a little pissant. Well, anyway, I started getting into it with him on this argument. And I said to him, he said, like, well, you don't stand a chance. He says, you don't stand a chance. You want to run for governor in the primary. He says, we know you got a furnishing alcohol to a minor charge. I said, every minor, I says, is now old enough. I said, they'll all vote for me. But the bottom line is that they don't see anything wrong with election rigging. They don't see anything wrong with anything. And that's because they look at people like us. They look at us like we're objects.
Like
can you imagine had General Patton or Douglas MacArthur or Nimitz, Bradley, just the great leaders, looked down and snubbed upon the people that were, under their command in the various platoons and the brigades. And I mean, this is almost—it's almost so insulting. I don't even know how to describe it. And I mean, this is the Republican Party in Michigan, where I asked them. I says, "Are you trying to tell me that grocery store is endowed by our Creator?" And I mean, they'll fight with you to no end to basically say, "Well, you know, this or whatever it may be." But the problem is the Republican Party leadership. As you said, they have lost touch with Republicans. There's a problem within the own family.
That's exactly true, and that's what I was trying to say to Doc there earlier, that by changing, the philosophy and the words Republicans are mimicking are the conservative, and I was going to tell him earlier, don't get conservatives confused with Republicans because they're not
absolutely
one and the same.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Hang on a second,
you guys. I want to play something, just a couple minutes. Listen to this. These are the most refreshing. Doc Jones, turn up your speakers because I know you're listening. Listen to this guy. Do we all remember this guy?
Now, one side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, we've never had it so good.
I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, going to help me.
But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
And yet our government continues to spend $17 million a day more than the government takes in.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt?
Yep.
The answer, yes, I'm telling you.
We've raised our debt limit 3 times in the last 12 months. And now our national debt is 1.5 times bigger than all the combined debts of all the nations of the world.
We're going to raise the debt limit. We always have. We will do it again.
We have $15 billion in gold in our treasury. We don't own an ounce.
I have been informed that the majority plans to block consideration of this amendment, which is number 1367. Regarding the transparency at the Federal Reserve.
Foreign dollar claims are $27.3 billion.
It's said that China has now surpassed Japan as the U.S. government's largest creditor, owning at least 10% of all U.S. debt, perhaps as much as $700 billion.
And we've just had announced that the dollar of 1939 will now purchase 45 cents in its total value.
President Obama is expected to face tough questions over the U.S. decision to pump $600 billion freshly printed dollars into its economy. Now, the move is an attempt to revive the country's finances, but will result in a devaluation of the dollar.
We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours.
You'll construct a legal regime to make indefinite detention legal.
History will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening.
Obama! Obama!
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
For some trips, it'll be faster than flying, without the pat down.
Anna was picked to go through. Pretty much everybody except the baby was picked to go through the scanner.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Damn America, that's in the Bible.
Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
I've got a core set of values that I think have to be advanced, and that my individual salvation depends on our collective salvation.
You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down.
We had an election, and it was about a direction for our country.
And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course. In this vote harvesting time, they use terms like the Great Society, or as we were told a few days ago by the president, we must accept a greater government activity in the affairs of the people.
E pluribus unum, out of many, one. In the end, that's what this election is about.
Well, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us.
Come on.
All right. Okay. We're going to.
All righty. Dale?
Yeah.
Yeah. Care to comment on that piece?
Which part? I guess of the whole piece, that you played right there, the one that stuck with me the most is that it's not the left or the right, it's up or down. And that pretty much nails the situation all the way around. And I hear O'Reilly say that we are a center-right. I don't think so. Obviously, it didn't prove center-right this last time. We could have been if we hadn't had the poll rigging and that sort of thing. But it gets back to what I'm saying, that this guy right here is simply a puppet, mimicking and doing what he is told to do. And whatever it takes to destroy this country is fine with him, because then he has accomplished his goal. That's my opinion, and we'll just see if Rocky can take enough blows, and Rocky being us conservatives, can take enough blows till the other guy just wears himself out, and then we have enough strength left to kick some butt.
Now, you know what's driving me nuts is that I'm hearing every single place people say conservatives have to compromise. No, we do not have to compromise. They say that you have to woo the Hispanic vote. No, all we have to do is explain our position and show why our position is good for everyone. Why our position will work and why theirs won't. We don't have to compromise a single thing. And I'm hearing, you have to make some sort of a compromise in immigration reform so you can get the Hispanic vote. BS.
You know, Annie, what it's all about is, you remember, it's all about one word. You remember the movie Cool Hand Luke with...
Yes.
Man, the guy that ate all the eggs, I forget.
Paul Newman.
Paul Newman, that's right.
And you remember the old Georgia warden. He stood out there and he said one thing. He said, what we have here is a failure to communicate.
Yep.
That's our problem. That is our problem totally. We have an image problem being the fat cat white guys, and we have a communication problem not being able to articulate exactly what we can do to save things. And we have another problem, is that when we do have an opportunity to save things, we do not act. So I wouldn't believe us either. You know, I mean, that's just what it boils down to.
Yeah, and that's very true.
I believe the communication problem, and that's what keeps families together, wives and husbands together, is everything, is being able to talk and being able to communicate with one another and appreciate each other's position. But although Kathy and I have been together 35 years we still have, we spit on each other every now and then, but we come back by later and wipe it off, you know. So the deal is that you have to communicate in order, you just can't draw it up and go inside. And we've had no communicator in the Republican Party at the highest level since we've had the old boy with the cowboy hat, you know.
Right. Yeah, Ronald Reagan. So, you're right.
And I think there's not only a lot of truth to that, Doc. I think many people who, I don't want to say many people who voted for the first time, but people who are voting, who are newly voters, and maybe have voted a couple times. Basically, it was the George Herbert Walker Bush era that really started when these people were born, just turning these people away. Because, I mean, basically, in many ways, there's a lot of good Republicans out there that are almost like a George Herbert Walker Bush. Their message is good, but they can't resonate it because they're too stupid to talk to people. They're so used to talking to the good old boys, the cartel, that they can't sit with a kindergarten class and explain them, this is how you plant this little tree and water it, and someday this thing will be a huge redwood. I mean, basically, Republicans have just lost this message. And here in Michigan, like I said, I still do not believe, I never thought there would be a day where I just detest this party. And I mean, it's done because of they're rigging elections. And even when they get caught, they're still supporting these people. And as I said, we lost the House seat. My district is 70% Republican in the House seat. They elected the Democrat. This lady can't even walk straight. She was campaigning in the wrong district, to tell you how this lady doesn't know a thing. She was in the wrong district campaigning. Because I was there. But I mean, basically,
Mike, what we have to do is we have to, again, start at the grassroots. Go into the classrooms, see what they are teaching, and get a hold of the textbooks. Fact check the textbooks. And if you find stuff that's wrong or stuff that is biased, you have to bring it up and say, hey, listen, I do not agree with you teaching this. Start in the classroom so that these kids are not indoctrinated with a progressive agenda. And make sure our side of the story gets told. We have to start with our kids, with the grassroots elections, like I said, county council, city council, and work our way up. And once we get the people to realize that, hey, this is the better idea. This one's not
well,
what
Annie,
conservatism is.
Yeah, you know, you can't do what you just said. Because
why
you
not?
Can't go in there and talk. Well, why not? Yes, because you have a textbook committee in every state. And the textbook committee decides on what books they'll be used in the classes. There's only one giant company in the United States that prints the textbooks, too. And it's all part of the agenda. Not what is that called? The
Agenda 21.
Common Core Standards, which is part of Agenda 21. So an individual going in there and saying, I don't like what's called in this textbook, well, good for you, going back to the house. What you have to do is to get the right people on the textbook committee and the right people on the state education committee. That's the mindset you change there. Then what goes into that textbook or what goes, and that comes down from the feds, by the way, what's in the textbook, what textbooks you have to choose from, then if you get it there to the students, then they can learn something differently. But you can't do it unless you remove or infiltrate the textbook committee and also infiltrate the state education committee. Those are elected.
Am I right or wrong, but didn't Texas, where the nationwide standard is by this group in Texas, just last year, I believe, they looked at the textbooks and had them revised to be more conservative. They removed a lot of progressive items. So, yes, we can do it if we, like you said, go to these committees and show them this is wrong. This is what should be in there.
But
and
Texas
like I said,
did not. Texas didn't go along with the Common Core standards. They voted it down. But they still have some of it there, and that's why they were able to do part of that, Annie.
My suggestion, Dale, in Alabama, show up there with that shotgun and help them write it. Explain word for word how they need to write it. But what has happened in the meantime is going back to I'm not a great public speaker, so I don't explain things all that well. But the problem is since
you
ought to
run for Republican office.
But since G.W. Bush, you have these people that basically the Republicans have done nothing to show them why they should vote Republican. And in the meantime, the Democrats make everybody feel so damn important. Everyone has a home in the Democratic Party. There's someone there to change your diaper. You know, when you wet yourself, there's somebody there to wipe your, you know, to clean you. I mean, and the GOP is basically, they've just enacted a standard. And I'm obviously a true fiscal conservative. But in many ways, there's no reason for people to even like the Republican Party. Because half of it is rhinos. I mean, if you go to Congress
you're exactly
right now,
right.
if you were to say who is your favorite congressman or woman, I bet all of us would agree on about five Republicans, and that's about it. They stand out because there's only we know our conservatives, our Tea Partier types. Other than that, basically this wasn't Democrat versus Republican. This was basically Obamacare or Romney Care, because he obviously said we're going to replace it with a package of my own. It's not even conservative. It's almost like Obama A or Obama B.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. And like I said earlier there, don't confuse conservatives with Republicans, because in Alabama here, we turned a supermajority in both the House and the Senate, and we took over the all-state offices. But as I was down there on the floor talking to everyone when they were meeting for the first time, I said, guys, don't be pounding yourself on the chest and think that Republicans won. The Democrats lost. Now, we have an opportunity to prove that we deserve what the Tea Party folks and the conservatives gave us. And so far we've done a few things, but mainly we seem to be regressing. And that's a sad thing, because we have a lot of people. Go ahead.
Quick question, and this is an Alabama question, Dale. We obviously know that you had lost the race for agricultural commissioner. What are two things right now, had you been elected, you would have done differently in your state of Alabama as agricultural commissioner?
First thing, it's called agriculture and industries here. We are responsible for all the industries that come into Alabama, as well as all the agriculture part of it. And then the industry side, we're chartered with reading and testing the fuel pumps within the state. And that is any fuel pump whatsoever that when you pay for a dollar's worth of gas, you get it. Well, in this state right here, they haven't been tested in over 3 years. There's no sticker on any of the pumps out there because we don't have the money to run that department with. So the first thing I would have done, being an entrepreneur, I've never had money to run any department with. I've got it done, though. So my question to the commissioner was, why haven't you done this? He says, I have no money. I said, well, how many have you read? He said, well, I haven't read any, you know. So my deal is that was the first thing I'd have done. The second thing I would have done is have a weekly radio show or a weekly TV spot that you can purchase. It may not be an optimum time, so on the weekend or Sundays or something, but let everyone in the state know exactly what we're working on at that moment, what the goal is, and what we're trying to accomplish and how it impacts the lives of the people of Alabama and exactly who's standing in the way. That's the two things I've done.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
I like your approach, Doctor.
I said I'd take names and no prisoners. That's what they meant. You know?
I like your approach. You're like, well, how many have you read? That's you know, that's an entrepreneur. You know, you can't find someone to do it. Guess what? I'll do it myself.
Well, there you go. When you go into a meeting somewhere in a different part of the state, take your little tin can with you and stop and check the station. Put a sticker on it and mosey on, you know? So my deal is that you're never too important to do the job that you've been hired to do.
That's true. Matter of fact, a boss should never hire someone to do a job that they don't know how to do and they have the ability to do. That's one of the things that I
have. Well, we
need
to get rid of all our politicians then, because, hell, they don't know squat.
I'm just going to bring up something a little bit different here. I don't know if anyone has heard about this support rally for Papa John's. It seems like this coming Friday, it's going to be a massive appreciation day for Papa John's, because they publicly made a statement saying that they were going to have to cut back hours on the employees. And all of a sudden, all the progressives and liberals going, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't say that publicly. You can't do that. You have to keep those people at full time, and you have to provide them with Obamacare. And Papa John's turned around and said, no, I'm looking at this realistically. CEO's name is John H. Schnatter. Schnatter?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to pronounce it. And he said that the franchise owners might have to cut hours because the health care law requires a company with more than 50 employees to provide insurance. And he said it's going to cost him alone between $5 to $8 million. I mean,
yeah.
So Friday, well, call up Papa John's and get yourself a pizza.
Well, the way I look at that, it might turn out the same way it did for Chick-fil-A, wouldn't it?
And absolutely.
So
absolutely.
We're gonna have a lot of Papa John's pizzas and. And we're going to top up with chicken.
Does Dale is Kathy Kathy going to make another run? Kathy is his wife, for those who are listening. Is she going to make another run for office?
I think so. We're both kind of like Annie and her husband. We're retired, and Obama has dipped into our till, and I don't know anyone other than the state would hire any old farts other like us, you know?
Yeah, I you know, I was in Kathy's commercial, Annie. She reminds me so much of you. She talked about being part of the PTA. You two strike me as the type, if I were a teacher or administrator, whenever you see one of you two walking down the hall, you're like, oh shit, I knew I should have moved on to another school district or gone somewhere else. Just the type that, you know, you toss and turn in the middle of the night and your wife or husband's like, well, you go to sleep and you're like, I can't get that woman out of my head. I hate her. So, yeah.
Well, trust me, on Sunday when I went to that U.S. Naval Academy Men's Glee Club, in Buford, there's the county of Buford and then there's the city of Buford. I live outside the city. But the mayor saw me coming, and he just kind of like rolled his eyes, like, "Oh God, here she comes." I mean, he's a nice guy. I get along with him socially, but we do not see eye to eye on policies.
Well,
so,
and,
yeah.
And remember is that these people are public servants. It's almost, this is another, most politicians think like this, but this is especially with the arrogance of the Republicans. The Democrats are like this, but the Democrats act better as far as they do a better acting job. When you are holding an office, it doesn't matter what the office is. You are a servant of the public. May I get you something to drink? May I take your order? Maybe I'm exaggerating a little, but you are whereas they just give this condescending, like, would you like a picture and an autograph type resonate? And it's just so arrogant. I mean, in order to be king, you really have to wear the crown. You can't fantasize about it and just wish it were to happen.
Well, you're exactly right there, and that's the image problem that we have. And I think they've worn out this word transparency. People just want to be informed, and that's the right word. And that's why I said if I was elected, I'd have a show every week and have different guests on there, different department heads. Here's what's happening in your department. How's it impacting out here? What are we doing with the state? If I was a governor, I'd be on there every week, you know, and I'd be around the state doing things. But everyone is afraid to do anything. The Speaker of the House here is the number one guy, one over in the Senate is subordinate. The president of the Senate subordinates to this guy, and the governor is trying to appease them all. And we're all in the same party, but none of the ones got elected, so they're in the threes that are split, so you got three fractions there trying to work together, and everyone's trying to grab the credit. You know, credit doesn't go to the individual, it goes to the team. The individuals get recognized. That's all that happens there. So what you do, is, and that's what we have in this state, and I'm sure it's the same way in other states, and we're internally bickering all the time. How we get anything done is beyond my imagination. The only way that we win is because someone likes you better than the other guy. So isn't that terrible?
Yeah,
and there's in the memoirs
teamwork.
There in the memoirs of Calvin Coolidge, there's a day where he vetoed like 25 bills in a row. Vetoed that the whole day, and the historian basically said to me, "You would like this guy." So he tells me the story where basically you have 100 people standing here after he vetoed it, and they're all basically pissed, yelling and screaming at him about this. And he looks at him, he says, "You know what, guys? That's tough shit." I mean, that is the approach it has to take. He told, I don't remember the company, but they were obviously trampling on people's rights, and there was just the strikers and blah, back and forth. And he said to the person, he said, "Settle the strike." And the person said, I'm not gonna do or whatever. And he looked at this guy and says, "And I'm not going to repeat it." He goes, "Because the next time I talk to, it'll be whoever inherits your property." That guy took care of the business. And, I mean, that's what you need. You need leaders who aren't afraid, who aren't afraid to say tough shit. You know, I am a supporter. I believe very much a person should be paid a decent wage. And I've my father was a union man, and I've been so here in our state. They wanted to they wanted to unionize these assisted the people who come into your home and give people baths. Now they make $8 an hour. It does nothing for you. That union doesn't help you. It doesn't educate you. It doesn't progress your career. All it does is take a buck and a quarter per hour. So that's great. While you're washing someone's butt, let's pay them $6.75 an hour. I mean, this makes no sense. And you got to stand up for what's right. It doesn't matter. And as Reagan said, it's not left or it's right. It's up or it's down. We're headed down on a roller coaster. I just hope somebody stops it.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right there, and you look at unions, back when they got started, they were really needed in the sweatshops and the things like that. But by and large, now this is coming from a very conservative guy here, you ought to know that, and a Republican. By and large, there's nothing wrong with union members. It's the union leadership that's the problem. So with the union leadership being as greedy as they are and doing the thing, if the unions did, when unions started, they just wanted everything fair and a level playing field. So what has happened is the more the unions can get for the employees or being the union people, the more they can make in dues. So the union membership or union leadership is the corrupt bunch of the whole gang right there.
And if you're not in favor with the union leadership, then you can expect to get less work, especially if you're in a field such as construction. I mean, they don't pick the names out of a hat randomly. They say, "All right, fine, this is my guy, this is my guy, this is my guy, you're not. Bye." And I've had that happen to them.
Dock
workers.
I talked to a guy a few hours ago, and I said to him, I says, "Are you hiring?" He says, "I'm hiring anyone who shows up." He says, "We're in the worst recession in the country's history, and I can't even get people to show up to work." He says,
"There you go.
How much you paying?" He says, "I'm paying cash." He goes, $20 an hour. I was like,
"Wow.
I can do 4 hours." He says, "That's $80. I says, "I'm in." But, I mean, you know, this is just – hopefully we'll get things turned around. And, Dale, I want to not only thank you for bailing us out, but, you know, Dale, we got to get you here on a regular basis. There's only one Dale Peterson. You know, I'm still obsessed. You lucky I ain't stalking you, Dale. I love that video. I watch that video, your ag commission, over and over and over and over. And on top of wondering if I'll ever find out what background music it is, you know, Dale, it's just that was a person saying, you know what, this is me. Like it, not like it, take it or leave it. And that's the kind of candidates we need. We need those tough shit candidates, the type that just don't care. I mean, Calvin Coolidge just say, okay, let's sit down and redo that. You know what? He said tough shit.
We're down to our last 3 minutes here, Dale. I really want to thank you so much for coming in. And to remind our listeners, our guest Stacy Swimp had to last-minute bail out because they switched his flights on him, and he was heading to the airport to get on board a plane. So right now he's up in the wild blue yonder, probably landing right about now. So he will be joining us on the 23rd, not this Friday, next Friday.
And I will I'll be texting Dale, and Annie, I will text you. Dale, good luck today. I hope you are successful. I hope these Republicans come to their common sense, which we all know they won't, but there's always hope.
I'm a realist, okay? But we'll see what happens. Who knows? We might surprise the world. But, guys, I enjoyed being on today, and I enjoyed talking to Doc there, too. So you guys take care. Don't let too many Democrats and liberals and everybody get after you up there. But
By the way, before you go,
Dale, before you go, when I first was studying about the Alabama election, and it said poll tax, I said, what, they taxing strippers now, too? Going to walk right up there while they're on stage and say, like, we'll take half of your money out your drink. I was like,
we used to put it in the strap. Now we just tie it to the pole, okay?
All righty. Good night, everyone. Thank you, Dale, very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Dale Peterson, future governor of the state of Alabama.
All right, and remind everyone that this Friday we'll be back, same bat time, same bat station. Our guest will be Corey Swanson of the John Locke Foundation. So until then, have a healthy, happy, and safe week. So good night, and God bless to you all.
God bless America. Good afternoon, everyone.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American. American, I've got the will.